You know, we are so blessed that we have such an incredible group of people that Dan cannot be here and goes on without a hitch. What a wonderful blessing that is. So I want to thank all of you. You guys are the best. We appreciate it very, very, very much. Today is Palm Sunday. And of course, Palm Sunday marks the beginning of Holy Week, a week where Jesus Christ demonstrated to us, like no other human being ever has, how deep and how incredible God's love is for us. That Jesus would choose to go to Jerusalem knowing what was waiting for him, because the thought of us dying was worse to him than knowing what was waiting for him. And so Jesus went there, and the gates were flung open wide, and Jesus went in the golden gate and was proclaimed the King of the Jews. And of course, the Romans and the Jews heard that loud and clear, and that set in motion the events that would take his life on Friday. But on this day, we're celebrating that that gate was flung open, because Jesus himself became the gate. Jesus himself became the way for us to have salvation, to have life. And this is exactly what he was talking about when he called himself the gate in the Gospel of John. And I'm going to be reading from you the 10th chapter of John's Gospel and the first 10 verses. I invite you to hear this anew and afresh, because these are the words of Jesus our Lord. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice." Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Muhammad, Hare Krishna, Confucius, Reverend Moon, Shintoism, the occult, Hinduism, Mormonism, Taoism, Zen Yoga, Tai Chi, New Age, Modernism, Judaism, Davidianism, Christian Science, Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, Christianity. It's enough to make your head spin, because there's so many things in our world claiming to have the truth, claiming to be the way. Everyone claims their way is true, but who has the truth, the ultimate truth? I know many in our culture believe that everyone's right, because many believe that truth is relative, and what's right for you may not be what's right for me, and what's right for me may not be right for you. But is that true? Is there such a thing as ultimate truth? And if there is, which truth is that? Which truth is the truth? Which way is the way? And how do we know which way to take? Baseball legend Yogi Berra gave us some wonderful advice. He once said, "When you come to a fork in the road, take it." And when he was asked to explain what in the world he meant by that, he said, "Throughout life, you come to serious forks in the road, big decisions. So which path do you choose? Sometimes it's tough. People are always afraid of making a wrong choice. But no matter what decision you make, you shouldn't look back. When you come to a fork in the road, take it. In other words, what Yogi's saying is you have to make a choice. You can't stand there and accept them all as okay. You have to choose one. You have to make a decision. When you come to a fork in the road, you need to make a decision and you need to take it. And so you need to make absolutely certain that the way you take is the right way. You need to make absolutely certain that the road you take goes to where you want to go. In the 10th chapter of John, Jesus likens us to sheep who are under the care of a wise and loving and benevolent shepherd. And he paints this absolutely beautiful word picture of the tender love that is shared between the good shepherd and the sheep that are under his care. Jesus said, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So what Jesus is saying is, I call you by your name. I know you personally, and I call you. I want you to be with me. I want you to follow. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And he leads us to the richest pastures, friends. He leads us under his loving and protective care to exactly where we need to be. And that's the good news, is when we follow this way, we can be assured that Jesus always wants what's best for us. So no matter where he leads us, even if we don't know where he's leading us, he leads us to exactly where we need to be. Now, this imagery, of course, meant far more to the people of Jesus' culture and time than it does for us, because the relationship of sheep and shepherd was very much different for them than it is for us. Because let's face it, in modern America, the closest most of us ever come to a sheep is the wool sweater that we wear. But in the Palestine of Jesus' day, sheep were everywhere. Shepherds were everywhere. So everyone would have firsthand knowledge of sheep, and everyone would have firsthand knowledge of the ways of a shepherd. And in those days, the shepherd would stay with the sheep 24/7. The shepherd never left them. And sometimes they would be together for years and years, and they would literally develop a very close relationship, very much like those of you who have beloved pets. They know you, they love you, they trust you. This is exactly the way it was with a good shepherd and the sheep. While in Israel, I've actually had the experience of seeing this, and that's one of the reasons I love going to Israel, because you just serendipitously like, oh wow, I just saw something really spectacular. Because I was in the Judean wilderness, and I saw a shepherd out in the fields, and so we stopped to just kind of get some pictures. And what was really awesome is all of the sheep were feeding. They all had their heads down, munch, 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 munch. And then I heard the shepherd call out in a sing-song voice, and I mean like that, as one, whoop, every single sheep lifted its head and turned and looked at the shepherd just in unison. It was the most amazing thing. They really did know his voice. And when he called out to them, they responded to him. And I've also seen in Israel firsthand several shepherds out in a field with several different herds altogether. And I thought, oh my goodness, how in the world are you ever going to get this straightened out? They're all mixed together. And they said, no, it's no problem at all. Because as soon as one shepherd calls his sheep, all of his sheep will follow him, and the rest are just going to stay here. So they'll never get mixed up. Just as Jesus says, when the shepherd calls his sheep, they recognize his voice, and they simply follow him. They don't know where they're going, but here's the thing. They don't need to know where they're going. They don't need to know the way. Because for those sheep, the shepherd is the way. They know he's never going to lead them astray. They know he's never going to lead them anywhere other than what's best for them. And at the end of the day, when the sheep are fat and happy, the shepherd would lead them back into the sanctuary of the sheep pen. And in Jesus' culture, in ancient Israel, throughout every village and town, there were communal sheep pen where all the village flocks were gathered when they would return home at night. All the flocks were together in the protection of the pen at night. But during the spring and the summertime, the flocks didn't come in from the fields at night. They stayed out in the fields all night. And instead, when darkness came, the shepherds would herd the flock into a little sheepfold in the hillside. And this sheepfold were basically just open spaces enclosed by a wall. And the walls came all the way around and then had one opening. So there was only one way into that sheepfold, and there was only one way out of that sheepfold. But here's the thing. There was no gate on that opening. That opening stood open. What happened was at night, the shepherd himself literally was the gate. The shepherd would lay across that opening, making certain nothing got in that he didn't want in, and making certain nothing got out that he didn't want to get out. So the shepherd himself became the gate. His body was the gate that protected his flock. And this is exactly the image that Jesus had in mind and that the people would have understood when Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." See, here's the thing. Jesus doesn't simply point to a way. Jesus is the way himself. Through Jesus and Jesus alone, we have access into the pen and out of the pen. To Jesus and Jesus alone, we have access into the good and healthy pastures. Through Jesus and Jesus alone, we have access to God. That's what the imagery is supposed to tell us. The Bible says, for through him is Jesus, for through him we have access to the Father by one Spirit. It is through Jesus and only through Jesus that we find access to God. It is through Jesus and only through Jesus that we find the presence of God. And the presence of God is everlasting life. You know, friends, until Jesus came, the Jewish people understood God to be very frightening, very standoffish. God was not approachable at all, right? Whenever the Jewish people wanted someone to talk to God, they would say, "Moses, go on up on that mountain and tell us what God has to say," okay? Because they were afraid to approach God. God was unapproachable. And then even when they built a temple, do you remember the presence of God was the Holy of Holies? So what would they do? They built a curtain all the way around it. So that curtain would forever separate us from God. There was always a barrier between us and God. That barrier was sin. That barrier was a huge gap. And the Jewish people did not dare approach God. God was very much unapproachable. But the Gospel of Matthew tells us in a dramatic way that God did away with that barrier between God and humanity. God did away with that chasm, and God made himself accessible to human beings through the person of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus died, that chasm was breached. When Jesus died, that separation was taken away. And in Matthew's Gospel, we read this. It says, "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom." Torn in two from top to bottom. So God initiated this and tore apart that barrier. No longer is there a separation between God and humanity because Jesus himself became that gate. Jesus himself became the way that we and God could be made one. We and God could be in the same presence now forevermore because Jesus made that way for us by being the way. The Bible says, "Therefore, brothers, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his, Jesus's body. So Jesus's body is the gate to allow us to have access to God, allow us to have access to everlasting life. Jesus says that he very much wants everybody to enter through that gate. He very much wants every single human being to use the way to God's presence, because Jesus wants more than anything else for every single one of us to be safe. His sheep, he said, are the ones that he has come for. And he says, I have come that you can have the richest of pastures, to know contentment and safety and peace, not just in this world, but in the world to come. But here's the thing that we need to understand. There's only one way, only one gate, only one path that we can take that leads us to God. There's only one gate to that good pasture and one way back into the safety of the pen, and that is Jesus Christ. Think about it. Jesus said himself that everyone else who tries to get in are taking a false way, and he calls them thieves and robbers who only bring death. And I know there's a lot of people who struggle with this because they think that's very exclusive, and they think, oh, there needs to be many, many, many ways into the presence of God. And that's nothing new. There was people in Jesus' time who felt the same way. Oh, no, there's many different ways into God's presence. The Pharisee said, you want to get into the presence of God? Very simple. Just do the most strict adherence to the law, and you'll be made one with God. And Jesus said, no, I am the only way. And the Sadducee said, no, you know what? If we just have the sacrificial cultus down perfect and do that the right way, then we can be made one with God. And Jesus said, no, I am the only way. And the zealot said, no, you can be made one with God through a holy war, through a jihad. And Jesus said, no, I am the only way. And today our culture tells us that truth is relative. And whatever way works for you, that way is fine. But Jesus says, no, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus does not say, I am a way, or a truth, or a life. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, because he is the gate, and no one has access to God except through the one and only gate, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. But now let me ask you this. Did Jesus ever say anything about only certain kinds of sheep being allowed to use that gate? Did Jesus in any way, shape, or form ever imply that that gate was limited to an exclusive group of people? That that gate was only open to so many people who looked like this or whatever? Do you remember Jesus ever limiting who was welcome to come to God through that one gate? The answer is no, of course not. Jesus bent over backwards to teach us exactly the opposite. Jesus said again and again and again, everyone is welcome to use this gate. I want anyone and everyone to use. That's the entire reason I came, was to give you salvation. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So according to Jesus, who is welcome to use this one gate? The world, whoever, all. Friends, this is as inclusive as you can possibly be. Everyone's welcome. Everyone's wanted. In fact, God's not happy unless everyone does accept this gift of grace. Think about how Jesus proved this again and again. In Jesus' culture, women were property, almost literally, just things. They had very little rights. And Jesus taught a better way. And Jesus lifted up women as full human beings and gave them the dignity and the respect that they deserved. In fact, Jesus even created a scandal because some of his disciples were women. Yeah. Luke's gospel says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him and also some women. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Slavery was an accepted part of the Roman Empire. It was rampant in the time of Jesus. Slaves were literally not considered human beings. They were considered material goods, and if you owned it, you could do whatever you wanted to it, not him or her. And in the eyes of the Jews, Gentiles weren't much better off. We were most assuredly a subhuman form of life. The Orthodox Jewish prayer every morning, for real, not making this up, the Orthodox Jewish prayer every morning was, thank you, Lord, for not creating me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. But Jesus taught a better way. Jesus said, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And Jesus also taught, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you hear that? All who call on him, everyone, friends, there is nothing exclusive about this gate. This gate is the most inclusive thing ever given to humanity. Yes, Jesus is the one and only way, and there is no other. But that one and only way remains open to anyone and everyone who chooses to accept Christ. So friends, there is such a thing as ultimate truth, and his name is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one will enter eternal life except through him, the one true gate. But anyone who chooses to accept that gate is more than welcome to come in. So let us rejoice in the love of a God that loves us so much that he makes a way for us to be one with him, that he makes a way for us to have life. And he makes that way by being that way for us. The Good Shepherd loves us, and he has come for us in order to save us. Let us rejoice in a love so deep and so wide and so perfect. Thanks be to God for our gate, our shepherd, our way, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And amen. Let's pray. Gracious and holy God, we come before you as a people just in awe of a love so profound that in reality, Lord, we can't even wrap our little mortal minds around it. That you call every single one of us by name. You know us personally. You love us deeply. And you want nothing more than for us to accept this gift of salvation that you've already offered. Jesus is the way. And that way is given to every human being who has ever lived. And we rejoice in that. And I just pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon us and help us to not only embrace this way, but help us to live out this way so that other people will see in us that same deep and abiding love, that others will see in us acceptance, that others will see in us a true welcome, so that we can show them by our actions where home really is. We praise you, Lord God, for our home. We praise you for our good shepherd, Jesus, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen.